tonight, if you would. And we'll be turning to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. And we really need to focus in on what the Lord's doing and wanting to do in our life. The preaching has been done. Now we need to practice what we preach. Take the word of God and use it for His glory. And it's good for God to put us on the spot every now and then. It kind of gets us awakened to our responsibility. If every Christian would take on personal responsibility, wow, what a power we would be able to portray throughout this world. Amen? Serving God. Proverbs 11, look in verse number 23. And let's follow with the thoughts of this passage. And again, thank you all for letting us come, because we'll be leaving in the morning and stay through the night. We thank you for the place to stay. Connie and I have enjoyed the time together. Appreciate the Creator's paying for our meal today and fellowship with the Rose and Brother Melvin. We had a good time together. And also, had a good time last night. The ladies and the men who fed us last night, what a blessing. Y'all just did it. You know, with Baptists, it's meet and eat. Amen? So that's a blessing. But also appreciate Pastor Talbert and Ms. Talbert for the blessing y'all been to us and friendships through the years. And not just them, but many of you were friends, and we appreciate it. And y'all been kind to us and far beyond what we deserve, and we thank you for that. And we pray that God will just do. I believe God's doing something here. I really do. I think Connie and I can look around and see new families, new people, and people excited about serving God. There's a great work being done right here. And if you'll stay humble and willing and ready and then step out and obey the Lord, you'll see God do it. And you have to cling together and cling to the Lord. Amen? And because the devil's going to fight, and there's going to be tribulations. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? So we're overcomers in Christ, aren't we? And if you'll let God talk to you, it's not about as much getting involved in missions, because He said give. So just obey. You don't have to pray about that. Jesus said give. I really don't have to pray about giving. There's nowhere in the Bible says we ought to pray about giving. Just pray about maybe what to give, and maybe God's already showed us what to give, and we're just not doing it. But we ought to give. Everybody should give, must give, for God's glory. Proverbs chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. Isn't that great? Let that soak in. When we are right with God, we want good, don't we? But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So what do you expect when you do wrong? And I do wrong? Correction. There's going to come correction, right? There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Now, I've got in my mind a picture of a sower sowing the seed, don't you? He's scattering the seed, right? So he's scattering the seed, or she's out there in the field scattering the seed, and soon there's going to be a crop. It's going to take some time. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, in other words, than necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. That's talking about how we put our seed and put it in a bin and never even use it. Put it in the shelf, and if we don't get it in the ground, or we eat our seed corn, that's a dangerous thing to do. He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And that's not fat as it might think of our bodies, but healthy and prosperous is what he's talking about spiritually. And with blessings, the liberal soul shall be made fat, the one who's liberal with their giving. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now I'm thinking of Joseph, aren't you? Do you think of Joseph about that time? But when God raised him up in Egypt, and they begin to put that corn aside, and that 7 year of plenty, then 7 years of drought came about. And that was one of the things that made him famous, is that not only did he have the wisdom to get 7 years of plenty to start planting more, and of course God brought in the harvest and God blessed, but he was able to distribute it out and people were willing to pay. By the way, I found out when you really want something, you're going to pay for it. And you don't have any problem with that. Amen? But he was a great man of God, wasn't he? Joseph was. But I want to preach on this thought about the liberal soul. Look at verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I'm going to preach tonight on having a liberal soul. Having a liberal soul. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word as we hear it tonight, that we'll be doers, and that we'll be faithful. Connie and I will grow in our giving and grow in our faith and trust in you and believe in you. And that's what's going to please you, because you said without faith it's impossible to please you. Lord, there's going to have to be some faith to step out and give and trust you for increase and trust you for provisions. And I pray you'll take the weakest believer here tonight to the strongest believer, and that you'll break us to and mold us and make us into something even better. Miss Tammy sang a song that is probably hard to sing, but it's very hard to live. Whatever it takes. So I wonder, Lord, are we really willing to say whatever it takes to draw closer? That's what we'd be willing to do. So, Lord, speak to our hearts and deal with our lives. And I pray that our sinner friends will be saved. Those that are lost, they'll repent and trust you before it's too late in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Having a liberal soul. Mrs. Getty, you'll find, I remember reading in the Guinness Book of World Records, the most miserable, miserly person. She died a miser. Lived in New York State. She was so stingy that she sought out a free clinic for her son's crippling disease when she had over $1 million in the bank. This was in the early 1900s. She ate crackers. She ate plain bread and cold oatmeal most of her life. And she was said to be a miserable and unhappy person. Notice the word miser in the word miserable. No one likes a miser or a grouch, and no miser and a grouchy person or angry and mean person is really blessed with that attitude. There was a man named Jean-Paul Getty, an oil field tycoon, who had $2 to $4 billion, and it was said that he was a miser. But I like to shift gears and go to the opposite side of the fence and talk a little bit about Robert Gilmore Letourneau. You might remember him as R.G. Letourneau, a great Christian man. Mr. Letourneau was a Christian businessman who gave much of his fortune away to churches and Christian organizations. He was an inventor of heavy and earth-moving equipment. Caterpillar Tractor used many of his designs and helped them become successful. He was liked by many people. He held nearly 300 patents on his equipment designs. Matter of fact, we were in church with his head architect, designer that was real elderly then. This was in 1985 or 86 when we were in Illinois. I cannot remember his name. He played the organ in our church. His wife gave us a blanket. He was Brother Letourneau's right-hand man. A real humble man, just a sweet spirit. And he'd tell me a little bit about Brother Letourneau, and he showed me some pictures, some old photos of him and at the drawing boards designing some of this. 70% of the earth-moving equipment that America used in World War II was designed by R.G. Letourneau. And then, of course, Caterpillar Tractor gobbled up a lot of his patents and purchased them and got them from him and so forth. And he funded many Christian endeavors. And he had a university and is a very well-known individual. So you see two opposites. See the one that's miserable, that had a lot and did just kept it and didn't do anything prosperous for God with it. And you see one that the more he gave, the more he got. And we see that over and over and over again in lives that are willing to give to the Lord. And so we see in our text here that we need to have a liberal soul. Liberal has the idea of being generous and not bound in selfishness. Our soul is made up of our mind, emotions, and our will. Look what he says. The liberal soul. A soul is our mind, emotions, will. So liberal giving comes out of these areas as we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Think about the three areas. We think, the mind, we think about giving. Then with the emotions, we get excited about giving. And then with the will, we practice giving. You'll find that people that are givers, that were faithful in giving. George Mueller, for an example, great English preacher that gave and was lived by faith. These people had on their mind all the time, what can I do for Jesus? Lord, what do you want me to do? Where else can I give? Lord, help me not to be selfish. Help me to be a blesser to others around. And so when we think about the mind, the soul is the mind, emotions, and will. So our mind, we think about giving. Then we get excited about giving with our emotions. And then we practice giving as our will pushes us to activity. So to have a liberal soul is to get involved in the harvest principles of sowing and reaping. If we are going to see God and His work being done, and have His presence in our life, and see Him work and accomplish in our lives the things He wants, and in the church, we must get involved in faithful giving, living by faith. We understand that if we're not going to give, it's because many times we're just simply not walking by faith, trusting the Word of God. And we're not pleasing the Lord when we're not walking by faith, when we're fretting and upset all the time. You see, we are to be conservative in our doctrine, militant in our praying, bold in our witnessing, and liberal in our giving. Amen. I mean, that's a good mantra for us to have right there. It comes right out of Scripture. We ought to be willing to do all that we can for Christ. So giving must see upward. Number one, if you want to write something down, write this down. Giving must see upward. So we have to see the Lord. We have to have that right relationship. So the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So the desire of the righteous, he said, is only good, and there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And so we understand that if that person that is walking with God, that is right, has a relationship with God. It's implied right there in the Scripture. We understand that. So giving must see upward. So we can't look at always the circumstances. If we just look at our bills all the time, and things we don't have, and things we need, it will just bog us down in discouragement. Is that right? But if we look up and see the glory of the Lord, and see God's goodness, then we're opening up an opportunity to talk to Him, and He to us, and He can open up the windows of heaven, because He'll do it, He said. In the book of Malachi, if we will unleash giving the way we ought to, He's going to unleash blessings the way He wants to. So giving must see upward. There has to be a right view of God. Do you have the right view of God tonight? The way you and I think of God is the way we live. Does that make sense? The way you think of God, the relationship you have with God. I'm not talking about what you think other people think. I'm talking about you personally. Having a relationship with God determines on how you live your life. So there has to be a right view of God. How do you view God? Do you view Him as a mean tyrant? Do you view Him as somebody getting ready to drop the hammer just because you made one little mistake? Do you view God as somebody that has let you down? Now, these are real ideas that people have about God. Are y'all with me? And some people, they go all the way to the gutter with those ideas. And they'll be depressed the rest of their life. They're very upset. Many times, we must understand, when we sin, of course, we sin against God. But when we don't admit it, we begin to blame God for what's going on in our life. And if we do that, we're not having the right upward look. Let me just remind you, Jesus died and was buried and rose again for us. Amen? Amen. We ought to see God as love. We ought to see God as gracious. We ought to see God as merciful. We ought to see God is so good to us that He gave us another breath to live today and another day to serve Him, another opportunity to praise His name. And so we have to have the right attitude toward God. Many do not get involved in God's work properly because they are not reading God's Word. God's Word's not important to them. They're not gaining any greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must look to God as our example and help in our faith, giving as He did, and become a liberal giver. He said over there through Peter, he talked to in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that we must grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must have gain a knowledge of who Jesus is. Not just what He's about, but have a personal relationship in how He does and what He says and how He lives. So that He can live through us. You see, one cannot have close fellowship with Jesus Christ without becoming a liberal giver. See God. Do we need to see God as real? Let me ask you, Do you believe God's real? Amen. There's a song we used to sing, "My God is real." You remember that one? He's real in my soul. Right? Do you believe God's real? Amen. Or do you think he's just in the ether somewhere, like you wonder where he's at? Do you see him spiritually with your eyes? I'm not talking about that picture that the Catholics have painted. That's not Jesus. Get that out of your head. That's an idol. Amen. That's why he didn't have photography in the years he was on the earth, because people would make idols out of them things. The Lord doesn't like that. And that's what men do. The disciples tried to do it. Remember when the transfiguration, I believe, they wanted to make a tabernacle. No, that's not what I'm doing this for. I'm trying to show you a truth that I'm the God that transcends time, that I'm coming soon, and I want you to see my glory. And sometimes we miss the picture, but we must see God as real. Have you seen God real? Do you see God work in your own personal life? Can you honestly say that was a God thing? Amen. Look what God did. Look how God provided. Are you having the attitude in everything give thanks? And you're stirred up in your soul, and the more you get stirred up in giving thanks, the more God opens up your understanding of how real he is in your own heart. And before you start complaining, does he not nudge your heart and say, you know what, look what I've given to you. Have you looked around? There's a lot more you have than that you don't have. Amen? You must see God is real. God has to become real in your life. It starts with salvation. Aren't you? I mean, anybody saved in here, say amen tonight. I mean, if God's Spirit is not in you, you will never be a proper giver. You need a relationship and a sweet fellowship with God daily so he can speak to your heart. And then we need to see God not only as real, we need to see God as right. We might not understand all that God's doing, but let me tell you, everything he does is right. God can be trusted because he's right. We don't understand. Our flesh doesn't understand. That's why we have to understand in the Spirit. How can we do this, the Lord? You said, give and it shall be given to you. We don't understand it. It's not a matter of worrying about trying to understand it. It's a matter of just being obedient, and God will open up our understanding.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have to believe God's word is right and then respond with obedient faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, who else are we going to believe? We better believe God. And the way we know more about God is under the preached word and in the reading of the word and the study of the word of God. And the Spirit of God will confirm the things of truth to our heart. We must see God as reasonable. I mentioned that earlier. Romans 12, 1 through 2. He said, I beseech you. Paul said, I beg you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Listen, that God's mercy be in your life. He said, present your body. Because when you present your body, when you put your whole self in the offering plate, he said, I've got your mind, emotions, and will, your soul, everything about you, your spirit, soul, and body, everything about you is encased in that body. And when you and I give our body to Jesus, we are giving our all to him. And when we give our all to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it this way, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we're set apart for God's glory by holy living, holy and acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. Because let me say, outside of the will of God, trying to serve in the flesh and live in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit, to serve God is very unreasonable. It seems very unreasonable for a couple to rise up and say, we're going to be missionaries and take the kids away from grandma. That seems unreasonable. Talk to the people at large out there. Does that sound unreasonable? Why would you leave a nice paying job and go out and try to get deputation support? That sounds unreasonable. Is that right? I'm talking about the world thinks. The world thinks a lot of things. My grandfather, bless his heart, when we were going to Canada, and I believe he was saved, but he was a very poor Christian. He didn't get anywhere. He got upset. He looked at a deacon one time. He saw a deacon that was in one of the churches that was at a bar room, and he just blew his faith up. Now, he said he had to stand before God with that. I don't know all the details of that, but he had to make it. But he said to my dad, you're going to bring those, when we were going to Canada as missionaries, and we were, first of all, we're going to go to Bible college, and I was a kindergartner, and Lee was a third grader. I think Sandra was two grades above Lee, so she was a fifth grader, and then Hope was just a little baby, and he said, you're going to take my kids up there, you're going to go to that college, and you're going to go up there to Canada, and you're going to, afterwards, you know, after we ended up going at the end of the Bible college and he found out we were going to go as missionaries to Canada, that really upset him. He said, you're going to bring my grandkids up there and starve them to death. Now, in his heart,
He thought he was right. And he thought my mom and dad were crazy. And so did a bunch of other relatives. They thought we were unreasonable. But when mom and dad got in the will of God, what the world called unreasonable was very reasonable.
Amen.
Amen. Years later, some of those same relatives, even my grandfather, admit it. Y'all did the right thing. We didn't know what we were talking about. You got to be willing to go through that. Because the world says it's not reasonable. So, he said, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice. See, I want to die for Jesus. Don't worry about that. Live for him.
Amen.
He's not looking for you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. What he's showing is that when a lamb was brought to the altar, it was not a dead lamb. Is that right? It was a living sacrifice. Anybody here? Do I have to go back and read Romans chapter 12 to you? I'm kind of quoting it, so we don't have to go. It has to be a living. It had to be alive. And God says, I want to take your life. That's living. I don't want to take your dead stuff. I want to take your life.
Amen.
I want you, everything about you is living. To get on that altar. Are you willing?
Yeah.
That's what the Lord did for us. If we're going to, well, I want to identify with Jesus, then get on the altar.
Amen.
I want to identify for Jesus. Die to self. I want to walk by faith. Here comes a trial. I want to join the Marines. Hello to boot camp. Amen. Let's be honest. We don't shake with that, do we? I want to be a part of that team. Meet here at practice time.
Right.
I want to play on that team. Run the bleachers.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to do that. All right, you're going to have to be an apprentice. You're going to have to go the hard way. You're going to have to go to school. We don't shake at that. But God says, if you want to see me, you have to look up and see who I am. And it's reasonable. And be not conformed. Don't be pressed by the world. Don't be molded by the world. When you take a piece of clay, you mold it. That's God. God says, I want to form you. I don't want them to form you. Amen? And so be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed right here by the renewing of your mind. Now, when I molded you right and you're transforming your mind, then you're going to be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of y'all believe the devil's always trying to muddle that up in our life? But God's always wanting to clear it up in our life so we can know his will. But we have to listen to him. It's reasonable. It tells us God's will and is right and is reasonable in the spirit. Because now this, what we do in the spirit is reasonable. When you get on the side of the Lord and you look at the world, you go, people don't even get it. But now I see it, because I'm seeing what God shows me. And what God shows is right. And so, you know, it was unreasonable for C.T. Studd to rise up and go become a missionary to Burma years ago. He said, who is C.T. Studd? Well, back in the early 1900s, he was the top cricket player in England. Now, cricket there would be like the baseball here. He would be like the Michael Jordan of basketball here. He was the top, number one, highest paid cricket player. He got saved, got right with God, and gave it all up to go to Burma. People said, you're a crazy man. He said, no. He said, I'd rather live by the gates of hell, have a mission by the gates of hell, than stay by the church bell. That's something about that quote that he made. I'd rather have a mission next to hell than go to sleep by the church sound of the church bell. He said, I want to be right on the front lines. I gave my life to cricket. I gave my life to be the best athlete. I gave my life to do everything I wanted to do. And when I got right with God, I was willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. He had no shame in that. He had no regret. Was that young, very wealthy Borden, where the Borden company comes from, whatnot, that missionary, I forget, his brother Borden says, no regrets, no return. He gave up millions of dollars of his inheritance to go to the mission field. You say, well, that person just gave up a lot for Jesus. Oh, really? A little money and a little fame and fortune is a lot? What did Jesus give up for us? You want to talk about fame and fortune and the robes of glory? Let's talk about that a while, because what right down here is minuscule. He's not even in the same ballpark. So see, God is reasonable. It does not seem reasonable for a little corn kernel to produce a stalk of corn with much more than one kernel. But
But it does. God does it. Giving is much the same way. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to show life and expand and grow through the gospel. So we are, when we receive Christ, we die to self. And when we die to self and sin by bearing our cross daily, and then with burial is a picture of our sins in Christ's blood through confession, and then resurrection is that submission to the Holy Spirit filling, living that resurrected life. So we do that daily. Now we do that one time when we first get saved by believing in Christ and getting saved. Then we are to live that salvation by dying. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You see, the 3 days of waiting refer to our patience and faith. It takes God's timing for results. You know, I talked to you about the little boy that put the kernel on the ground. His big brother helped him plant the corn by the front porch. And then a week or two later, the big little brother said, I don't know why the corn's not growing. And the big brother said, yeah, this should be up already. Should have been up a few days ago. And the little boy says, I know. I pick it up, dig it out every day, and look at it. Amen. You can't do that. You got to give it and let God do it.
Amen.
Give and let God do it. So, number one, what do we see? We see if we're going to have a liberal soul that giving must see upward. Second of all, giving must start inward. Giving must start inward. You see, our heart is the hothouse or the greenhouse of the new growth that can be placed in God's hand in His field. We must have some simple things work in our life as we are growing and giving. We need to turn to God. Are we willing to turn to God? Right here, we have to turn to the Lord. If you don't have your heart in place with God and turn to the Lord, you're going to be in real trouble. As a seed is planted and watered, it also needs sunshine. And so the light of God's love and joy will shine on our heart as we turn to the Lord and remain in His will. And as we're walking from day to day, we're walking in the light. If I'm walking in the light and the will of God, I'm having the sunshine of God's love on me all the time. But when I stray away by disobedience and decide I want to go my path and I don't want to walk the straight and narrow with Christ, then it gets darker. You notice we see the Lord wants us to have joy and light. You know, there's a lot of good intentions of giving. They've died out when we have failed to soak up God's love and His light. So we need to turn to God. If you're going to have a giving, let's start up inward. Turn to God, then trust in God. Go to, you know, Psalm 118, verse 8. And I can quote it. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How many of y'all believe that verse?
Amen.
Yeah. Better to trust in the Lord. That's the middle verse in the Bible, by the way, in the King James Bible. There's 50 words, there's a whole, there's a neat little study in that, but I'm not going to get into it. But he said, being confident, that we have confidence in Christ and in God, His love and who He is much better than having confidence in men. And so when you and I see that, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. So our military, American military is so powerful, we're very safe. You better quit putting confidence in that. I'm going to put confidence in our government. You better stop that. I'm going to put confidence in our house. Here comes a tornado. You better get in the storm cellar.
Yeah.
Amen. You better trust the Lord. You better use some common sense that He gave you. Amen. So I'm asking, are you trusting the Lord? Remember, when you and I don't trust the Lord, we're insulting God.
Right.
Don't tell me, parents, if your kids came up to you and said to you, I don't trust you, that it won't hurt something in your heart. You'll go, what? I have everything, my whole heart is desire to see you blessed. I hate you and I don't trust you. That'd hurt a parent. Is there people that do that to God? He just simply says, do this. I'm not going to do it. What do you mean? You don't trust Him? You don't think He can do it? We've all been there if we're not careful. We need to turn to God. We need to trust in God. Then we need to try God. God wants us to prove. He said, prove me. Test me. Put me to the test. Put God to the test. He has never failed. He wants us to act upon His word by faith and reap a great harvest of souls and blessings. So I don't know if I ought to give the missions. Try Him. Try God. Give. And see what God will do.
Amen.
Giving must start inward. Number three, giving must sow outward. Did you notice that proverb? Look in chapter 11 there in verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. But it tendeth to poverty. So when you scatter, you increase. When you begin to bless others with your bounty. So our seeds of giving faith do not do no good locked up in the seed bin. It's got to be used properly. There has to be the scattering before the increasing. Many a believer has lived on the spiritual poverty side of their Christian life by hoarding or neglecting to sow through giving. So we need to sow bountifully. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." You look around and see Christians that are right with the Lord, and they might not be the wealthiest, but they have everything they need and more and above. And their focus is on Christ and the love of God, and you'll say, you have much more than we ever had. We had a relative that was a millionaire, lost it, and was a millionaire again, lost it over just dumb stuff, and got saved. And he told my dad, he said, "Y'all, Ron Lee, you and Jean," which is my mother, there was a certain kind of snickering going on in our family that we were a bunch of crazy people. Because dad went to Bible college, and matter of fact, just a week or two before we went to Canada, a guy in Missouri, when we were going to Bible college, threw a plan to build 40 houses. And my dad said, "I'm not going to do it." And the guy said, "What do you mean, Osteen? You're going to make a lot of money to build this residential area, and you're going to be the head carpenter. You're going to be the construction for." He said, "I'm going to Canada." He said, "My dad said I didn't come here to build houses, although that's what he did while he was in college. He said, I came here to get trained to go to the mission field." You know, that man thought my dad was an idiot. But I don't think he'd say that now. I don't know where that man is now. I didn't know him. But I guarantee you right now, he knows by talking to God that my dad made the right decision. Amen. Giving must sow outward. Little sowing, little crop. Much growing, a bountiful crop. George Mueller, the great man of faith, said it this way: "The Lord pours in while we continue to pour out." But if you've got to, don't be the Dead Sea, be the Jordan River. Keep moving for God, keep giving. Matter of fact, if you get a little stayed in your Christian life, look for a place to give. Amen. Look for something to give away. Look for a place to help somebody. Get it off, get the problems out of your head by saying, "I'm the only one, look at all the problems I have." No. So here it is: God, you are going to use me. Don't get caught up in that pitiful stuff. If we will act as stewards, George Mueller said this, if we will act as stewards and not as owners, he will make us stewards over more. And he believed that because he practiced that and it happened. And he had a children's home. And they sometimes not even have any food. They get to the table as kids, "We're going to have to pray. We don't have any food, but God has all we need." And they begin to pray and hear a knock on the door. And groceries by the wagon loads. I mean, it happens so many times. He said, "We're going to pray and believe God." And so bountifully, and then so cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we find that we ought not to give just out of obligation or with a grudge. We ought to give cheerfully, hilariously. I mean, that word talks about that we ought to give with a full heart of laughter and goodness. God loveth a cheerful giver. The opposite of that would be God does not like a uncheerful giver. A right attitude in giving makes the giving exciting and alive. So bountifully, so cheerfully, and then so often. Very often, as much as you can. We ought to give with a desire to do more and to do it again as soon as possible. The needs for God's work will not stop until Jesus returns. Getting involved with a heart purpose will find us looking for ways to give. There are various ways and means to give along above our tithes and our missions. There's our time, our talents, and our treasures, of course. Those are just a few, but we can give prayers, we can help with encouragement, we can do all kinds of things. Think about how we can be a blessing. And so we ought to understand that. Giving must sow outward. But last of all, giving must send forward. Giving must send forward. Forward progress is what the Lord wants from us. You see, that person who is scattering is that liberal soul. They're made fat. They're made wealthy. They're made prosperous because they're willing to give out. We will get stagnant if we stop our giving and find a disastrous crop ahead of us. Men of God won't have their needs met if we fail to give. Ministries will suffer if sowing ceases. Missionaries will lack resources from God's people if we close our hearts to them. So what are we to do? We're to meet the goal. Our goal is to meet the need, but it goes deeper than this. We are to spread the gospel. We are to spread the gospel, but God wants us, and he does ask us and tells us, actually, to get involved in it. And then we need to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10 and Colossians 3, and everything we do should be to the glory and praise of God. And with what we do, is what we're doing, is it giving glory to God? Are we under God's authority? Are we representing the Lord right in our testimony? You see, to glorify the Lord should be our main goal or purpose in giving. Not to say, look at me. The reason we have to, it's good to put it on that card, what you're giving for missions, is so we can make a budget. So we can know how many missionaries we can support. We want to be able to support more. So you begin to look, and as it builds, listen, when the money comes in the missions fund, and you have, let's say you have 50 missionaries, and they get $75 a month or whatever. And so they get that $7,500 a month, $50 a month, and you make it, and you go, okay, we've got X amount of dollars to meet that, but it's always good to have another 1,000 or two over. So as you're getting it larger in that missions account, through the year, you're going to have a missions revival. Take care of the needs of the missions revival. That extra money helps when the missionary says, hey, we need a foundation on building a hut out here in the middle of Africa. Can y'all, where it's going to cost us still, it costs us a few $1,000 to get this concrete. There's $1,000 extra. Boom. You can send to the missionary. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Pastor reads a letter. And that missionary in Brazil says, you know what? We have to fly back. Our little girl is very sick. And there's no hospitals over here that can take her need. And we're going to need a $5,000 round trip ticket. Hey, we could give $500. Yeah. Another church is right. Are y'all with me? Amen. That's above the monthly support. How many of y'all like eating? How many of y'all like living under a shelter at night? Amen. How many of y'all like it when you can go to the doctor if you can? And you try. How many of y'all like it when you have some educational material? And you like to wear clothes that are decent? Missionaries are no different. They're like just you and I in another place. But many of them cannot work a job in those countries. It's illegal. In fact, it's a struggle for them to stay there because many of these countries are trying to kick Christians out. And so as they're trying to do that, when they get the money, many times they're under-supported, and now they're trying to minister, and listen, it's not unusual for a missionary to give away half of his support to the people in the church because they're poor, and they're needy, and their baby's crying because they don't have milk. You've got to see past this attitude. If anybody makes $1 more than me, I'm resentful. That's wrong. Amen. That attitude needs to go away, but an attitude of help and love. So remember, tonight, I just want to encourage you tonight, concerning the preaching that we've done this week, the Word of God you've heard, remember three things that I believe will help us. Number one, be a good steward, not an owner. And you will be entrusted with much. A steward means somebody given responsibility to take care of a job. God says, here, I'm going away, I'm coming back. You take care of that responsibility. It feels good when God nudges our heart and says, you're doing a good job, you're doing a good work. Amen. Number two, be a giver, not a taker. And you will have all you need. Now, when somebody goes to give you something, take it graciously. Don't act like you don't need it. Take it and thank them for it. That's not what we're talking about. But don't think about just getting. Think much more about giving. Amen? God says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let me just tell you, receiving is a blessing. Hallelujah. I don't think anybody goes at Christmas time and goes, man, I wish I wouldn't have had these 15 presents. You're going to go, yeah, this is great. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And don't look a gift horse in the house, in the mouth. That's an old country saying. That means if somebody gives you something, just gracefully thank them. What they would do, if a guy that was kind of strange about that, when they'd give him a horse, he'd pull the gums up on the horse's lip and check its teeth to see how old it was. I don't know if I want this horse. That's a gift horse.
Don't look it in the mouth and try to figure its age. Just accept it. Old Bessie might have another year left in her. Amen. Apply. Now, so be a giver, not a taker. So let me ask you a question. Can you and I get challenged to think about ways we can give? And don't limit yourself to what you wrote down. We try not to limit ourselves to what we wrote down in our commitment, and we give above that. Try to go over it. Amen. And then number three, be generous, not miserly, and you will experience joy. Amen. We're blessed. We are a people that's been taken care of by the glory of the Lord. And God is good, amen, in spite of us. So can we not thank the Lord? Can we stop and praise God? Why don't we just stop and thank Him for what He's given to us, and that we'll have the spirit of giving as He has. Because if we do that, we'll have revival. And we'll be able to, when we start saying that, the Lord's going to convict us, remind us of some attitudes we've had that weren't right. And so, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Let's stand. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight deal with our hearts. And God, that we would yield ourselves fully to whatever You're saying. Speak to every life, every young person, every adult, every child. And Lord, that You would seal these principles of Your word in our heart, and that we'll follow them. Guide us, we pray, and bless the missionaries, and help us to be a blessing to them. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear these altars.